to be American.
This is Democracy Optimist. Here's your host, Professor Joshua Douglas of the University of Kentucky Rosenberg College of Law.
Young people are often described as the future of our democracy. But even before they can cast a ballot, they're already living with the consequences of political decisions, especially decisions about education. Courts and scholars alike have long recognized that a healthy democracy depends on well-educated citizens. Yet the students who walk our hallways and sit in our classrooms every day often have the least to say about how those schools are run. That silence isn't for a lack of trying. In 1989, the Kentucky Supreme Court issued its landmark decision in Rose versus Council for Better Education, holding that the state legislature had failed its constitutional duty under Section 183 of the Kentucky Constitution to provide, quote, an efficient system of common schools. The court declared the state's entire system of public education constitutionally deficient. More than 35 years later, a new generation of students is asking whether Kentucky has truly lived up to that promise. The Kentucky Student Voice Team, a statewide youth-led organization dedicated to empowering young people in civic life, is now raising serious questions about whether the Commonwealth's schools once again fall short of the constitutional standard. Here to discuss the Kentucky Student Voice Team is its managing director, as well as one of the students involved in the effort. Rachel Bellin is the managing partner of the Kentucky Student Voice Team, who has been there from the start. And with her is one of those current students, Luisa Sanchez, who is a senior at Boyle County High School. Rachel and Luisa, welcome to Democracy Optimist.
Thanks so much, Josh. So great to be here.
Great to have both of you. Rachel, let's start with you. Tell us about the origins of the Kentucky Student Voice Team. How did it come about?
Yeah, so the Kentucky Student Voice Team began way back in 2012, when Luisa was probably about 3 years old, as a pretty simple but powerful idea that young people who spend 35 plus hours a week in classrooms deserve a real say in shaping the policies and practices that affect their education. At the time, a group of high school students began having conversations with me when I was working for the Pritchard Committee, and said essentially, if the goal is education improvement, why aren't students part of these conversations? And so what began as a small discussion in a Lexington coffee shop extended to more frequent and larger conversations as students brought their friends, and we started to conduct outreach to other students in other parts of the state. And soon we were absorbed as a pilot program of the Pritchard Committee, and that's when we began to experiment. And specifically, that was when students began to both contribute to work that the Pritchard Committee was doing, but also lead some significant education research and advocacy initiatives on their own. And this is when things started getting really, really interesting. Fast forward in 2021, the Student Voice Team took me with it as we spun off from the committee and became an independent nonprofit. And we made the move so students could be better positioned to drive not only the programming, but also the entirety of the organization, something they continue to do now over 5 years later. And that includes everything from development and budgeting to board governance, communications, and everything in between. And so today we call ourselves a youth-led, intergenerationally sustained organization. And at any given time, we comprise about 100 self-selected students supported by a few adults like me, engaging thousands of young people every year through research, storytelling, policy advocacy, and more recently, litigation. And so the Kentucky Student Voice Team's simple mission is to co-create more just, democratic Kentucky schools.
So, Luisa, you're one of those students, and my understanding is that you lead the litigation committee among the students. Tell us a little bit about your involvement, why you became involved in the Student Voice Team, and a little bit about your role in overseeing some of this litigation effort.
I can start with sort of why I joined the Kentucky Student Voice Team. I joined during my freshman year of high school, and that was a very hectic period of my life as I was adjusting to new learning environments and also just like coming to understand the importance of education and how it really is the foundation to having in our country a successful future and why it matters. And so I really wanted to understand why it was that school communities across Kentucky were so vastly different from each other. I wanted to learn more about the disparities that exist in Kentucky classrooms and why that is and what we can do to change it. I know even in my own school, just throughout high school, there are very limited civic opportunities given that we are in a rural area and a lot of times teachers focus more on standardized testing as opposed to project-based work and getting out in the community and volunteering and things of that nature. And so I really wanted to be involved in work that allowed me to create real life impact. And that is the Kentucky Student Voice Team. And I remember sophomore year, just seeing the English language learners in my school not have a formal classroom. They had to be in the library or sometimes even in the counseling office because it was a small group and there are limited English language teachers. And so seeing all of that truly broke my heart. And I think everyone should deserve to have an equitable education that works for them. And so in order to combat these problems, I really wanted to be involved in an effort like the Kentucky Student Voice Team. And so, yeah, I think KSBT really is a place where adults don't just listen to students, but it's actually us leading the impact. And we are treated as partners in generating and co-designing improvements within schools. And so I started in the New EDU, which is the independent news reporting platform of the Kentucky Student Voice Team. And that was amazing getting to tell the stories of awesome Kentucky students. And then I also lean into the research and policy side of KSBT. And when it comes to litigation, I am a plaintiff in the lawsuit. And then also prior to that, I was a facilitator of roundtables when we did public forums to engage community members and assess whether or not Kentucky was living up to its constitutional promise of an adequate and equitable education for students. And so I really got to be involved in our Rose work since the start, and now it's growing more than ever before. And so now I can engage with students that are also very passionate about the lawsuit, and it's been incredible.
So, Louisa, let's talk a little bit more about that lawsuit. You said you're a plaintiff. The Kentucky Student Voice Team, and you being one of the plaintiffs, is challenging the state's education system again, saying that the state is not living up to the promise of that Rose decision from 1989. What's the basic argument that you're making in this lawsuit?
When the court declared that Kentucky's education system was unconstitutional, it set forth seven Rose capacities. And so when we look at the research that we've done with the State of Civics in Kentucky Classrooms, which is published, we are hearing from high school students that they are not getting the opportunities to be as civically engaged as they want to. A lot of even Kentucky people don't know all three branches of government. So we are seeing a clear deficit in civics education. Also, Kentucky is one of very few states who require that students take a civics exam, but it does not require that its students take the course. And so with that, there is a gap of knowledge that students have to overcome by themselves because the system is not designed to give them the resources that they need. But that's just one part. And we can also see when it comes to mental health resources, a lot of times counselors in Kentucky classrooms have to help hundreds of students. And with the teacher shortage in staffing, a lot of times students cannot get the academic or mental health supports that they need because of counselors being overworked. And so we also made that clear in our lawsuit. And there's a lot of parts of the Seven Rose capacities that we can see that are not being fulfilled. And so that is our primary argument, is that these seven capacities, all seven of them, need to be better designed to help students. And we can see deficits in all of them.
And some of those include things like strong oral and written communication skills, knowledge of the economic, social, and political system, understanding government processes, etc. Rachel, why do you think Kentucky's education system has fallen behind, given the promise of the Rose case from 1989?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I'm so glad you and Louisa both hit on what those seven capacities are. And I would just underscore the bigger picture is that Rose laid out this much more holistic definition of what it means to have an adequate education. And we did see major gains in student achievement after Rose, especially with the Education Reform Act of 1990, which really moved the Commonwealth forward. I mean, we saw gains in student achievement, we saw gains in funding equity, teacher professionalism, and civic learning. And for a time, Kentucky really was the national model for how communities could pull together and mobilize to make significant gains in education improvement. It is something that every Kentuckian should be so proud of, to have that history be part of our Commonwealth. But, you know, the compliance wasn't sustained. That's what we're arguing. So over the decades since those initial gains, the state underfunded schools, let the teacher pipeline atrophy, narrowed curriculum, and allowed disparities to widen again. So funding plays a role in all of this, but it is definitely not the only thing at all. We're arguing that we have given up on the Rose vision of a more holistic education that prepares students to really be not only successful in our economy, but also as citizens in our country, in our community, in our Commonwealth.
We're speaking with Rachel Bellin and Louisa Sanchez of the Kentucky Student Voice team that has filed a lawsuit against the state of Kentucky for not fulfilling the promises of the Rose decision from 1989, the first state Supreme Court decision that declared a state system of education unconstitutional, and there are some other states that have followed suit. Rachel, can you help us connect these issues with democracy? I mean, this is a show about the democratic process, about voting. I'm a professor of election law and voting rights. Why should we understand this issue of adequate education and educational opportunities to the issues of democracy?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked me that for a lot of reasons. But one of those reasons is I am a one-time high school classroom social studies teacher myself, and I really do see this work as a form of guerrilla social studies, if you will, because Rose was fundamentally a democracy case. It wasn't just about reading and math. It was about ensuring every child has the knowledge, skills, and experiences needed to participate in and contribute to civic life. So the idea is that strong public schools create informed voters, engaged community members, and resilient democratic institutions. So when education deteriorates, when civic learning disappears, when students don't understand how the government works, and by the way, three of the seven Rose capacities get at this concept very specifically, but when students lack opportunities to contribute, it weakens the entire democratic fabric of a state. And, you know, the work of the Student Voice Team, in essence, is just one beautiful example of how young people who are even too young to have a vote can still participate in democratic and civic life. And we sell young people short when we don't support them in engaging in our communities in profound ways like this. And I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that at its core, Rose is about democracy's long-term survival in Kentucky.
And Rachel, what's the state's reaction been to the lawsuit? I mean, doesn't it seem kind of obvious that we should improve the state's educational system?
The Student Voice Team itself, we have been doing, and Louisa's helped lead this work, and she alluded to it, we've been doing a lot of public engagement work related to the case. This is going to take years to work its way through the courts. We know that. And the defendants of this, representing the state, we heard from their attorneys in May. Students packed the courtroom in Franklin County to hear the arguments about whether or not we have standing in this case and to file the suit. And we're still waiting on Judge Shepard's decision there. But overall, we are hearing constantly from people everywhere who are supporting this work and the opportunity to reengage in an examination about the legacy of Rose. And the question before us all is, is the rose wilting? And if so, what can we all do as citizens in our communities to uphold this vision of a healthy and adequate public education that prepares our students to contribute and be an essential part of our democracy?
Louisa, how have adults responded to your advocacy and your efforts to advocate for students? Have you seen roadblocks? And given your response to that question, I'm curious what advice you might have for young people who want to become engaged.
A lot of my teachers have been extremely supportive of my work with the Kentucky Student Voice Team. A lot of them were informed about what the KSBT was even before I joined. I remembered when I was doing media impressions for Rose, actually, one of my English teachers just sent me this super sweet email about keeping on fighting, and I quote, the good fight. And so it brought me to tears. And I can say that for the most part, a lot of adults have been very supportive. However, sometimes it is a little... I'm a little hesitant sometimes, because I can say that my district, when SB 150 became a law, my district responded by banning over 100 books in libraries across our schools. And so just seeing that is obviously devastating. And so knowing that I'm working against that, I'm definitely wary of adults who may not be as supportive. But I really don't think it matters. That's my biggest piece of advice. It's like, if you know that you're doing impactful work that serves your community, you should not pay attention to the negative feedback that you're getting, but rather you should actually take in constructive criticism, but continue to do the work that you're doing. Because when you're trying to change systems, you also have to challenge assumptions about being a young person in this work. And so let your impacts speak for itself. And you don't always have to, again, address the haters per se. You can just continue to do the work that you're doing. And then obviously KSBT is an extremely positive community. And so you know that you have people by your side who are fighting with you. And so you're never alone in this.
I love that response because it, I think, connects in a way that maybe you didn't intend, but it connects to the history of advocacy in this country, of youth engagement on so many different issues. So, while what you're doing is maybe new for Kentucky, there's a long history of young people getting involved. And I want to talk a little bit more about the kind of advocacy that KSVT does. Beyond the lawsuit, you have a whole movement that you call the Rose Revival Movement, and you're having hearings all across the state on different issues, inviting teachers to testify and experts. Louisa, tell us a little bit more about this Rose Revival Movement and what you've learned from those forums.
We did public forums all across the state, and just getting to interact with community members was definitely really impactful for me. I got to hear so many diverse perspectives and just see truly how education looks different in different regions of Kentucky, how rural communities think of in terms of like their education, also urban areas. Just education is one of the biggest employers in our state. And so communities had a lot to say. There was a lot of passion and a lot of energy. And so seeing that was extremely inspirational for me. And then in terms of the movement, I think for a movement to be alive, you have to keep it active. And so we have been doing a lot of work, even with, we did public forums, and then we launched our lawsuit, and then we published our State of Civics report in March. And then in May, we had our court hearing. And then now we're hosting public hearings across the state. And so we are continuing our work, and we can also see that as we have progressed, a lot more people are becoming aware of what ROSE is, and they have been coming to our events. And so there is a lot of energy and excitement and a lot of interest in what we're doing. And so seeing that makes me very hopeful for the future.
Rachel, what is the one thing that you wish listeners would take away from this conversation?
I hope listeners understand that young people like Louisa are not just the future. They're very much a part of the present. They are actively working on real world problems, and they have the capacity to do that. We just need to unleash their power and circulate power and resources around them because we need them. We can't afford to wait till they're older adults. They're valuable right now, even and maybe especially as young people.
And what do you expect the movement to look like in 1 year, in 5 years, in 10 years?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. Well, you know better than I do with your background how long these things can take to move through the courts. But as Louisa alluded to, we are not waiting. We actually, the ROSE revival work that we're doing, the public engagement work, the hearings and the forums, and we're going to be having a book coming out about this case. We're doing additional research that's related to it. All of that is designed to put forth an affirmative vision. It's a complement to a legal complaint. It's an affirmative vision of asking, or young people themselves as primary stakeholders of our schools are asking the public to consider, what is it that makes for an adequate public education? What do we want to see in our schools? And I hope, and I'm putting it out into the universe because more than hope, I want to see it happen. I hope that Kentucky as a whole really continues to gain momentum around this vision, and we remind ourselves just how powerful public education is and can be.
Rachel Bellin is the managing partner and co-founder of the Kentucky Student Voice Team, which you can learn more about at ksvt.org. Louisa Sanchez is an impressive student who is helping to lead the litigation efforts. Rachel and Louisa, thank you for joining Democracy Optimist.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Josh.
Josh, I think Louisa Sanchez, a senior at Boyle County High, reminds us that teens can be very engaged and knowledgeable about important civic matters going on in their world. What did you hear from Louisa that left you with food for thought?
Wow, how impressive, right? How engaging, how smart, how well-spoken about the issues. I think if we didn't tell you that she was still in high school, you wouldn't know that because of how immersed she is in the issues. And what a great advocate for young people. So I was just really impressed. I loved hearing her optimism. I loved hearing the ways in which she really wants to engage in these efforts, even in the face of, you know, when she talked about some of the opposition that she hears, she's maintaining an optimistic view about what is possible. And of course, as you know, we call the show Democracy Optimist. I love seeing that hope for the future.
Yeah, they kind of embody that optimism, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Rachel Bellin has been a tireless advocate for giving young people, high school age, more of a say in policies that have impact on their lives and futures. And she raised the hope that Kentucky leaders get it, that our young people need to be engaged. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, again, I love how it's such a youth-focused conversation. And young people are really wanting to get involved. So, you know, full disclosure, my own daughter decided to become involved in KSVT because she heard about these various efforts and she herself wanted to kind of become involved. And I think it's because people like Louisa and Rachel giving young people a voice to advocate for themselves in a way that we really haven't seen in many other areas of our lives. And so this to me is a model of youth engagement. And I think it's really important how Rachel connected that to democracy as well. We're not just talking about the quality of education. We're really talking about the quality of our overall democracy and who can participate in that.
Thanks for joining us for this series of conversations about how elections work, about the value of your vote, and about challenges to your right and freedom to make choices at your local polling place. Find our series online at democracyoptimist.com. Joshua Douglas, writer and host, Mike Savage, executive producer. I'm Tom Martin, your series producer. Neil Kesterson, technical director and sound designer. Democracy Optimist theme song, American, by Madeline Peru. Mason Graber and Stephen Dabney, research assistants. Caitlin Douglas, graphic designer. Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. Democracy Optimist is a special Eastern Standard series produced by Dynamics Productions for Richmond, Kentucky-based public radio station WEKU. Educate myself on the fight.